Well, it's good to have you with us again as we end the week with another live broadcast of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. Along with Debbie Giorgiani, I am Jerry Usher. The show team in place, Ace, Jeff, and Matt, are all ready to do their wonderful, usual, fantastic work to help the show be the good broadcast that we hope it's going to be. And we know it's going to be today because we've all been through a lot of peaks and valleys in our lives, and it's sometimes when we're in those valleys that we need friendship, we need those who love us and those we love to kind of lean on a little bit, and hopefully they give us some good advice when we're in those low points in our lives. So Debbie, that is in a nutshell what we're going to be talking about, but I'm sure you can present it much better than I do.
I think it's a great topic, Jerry. I love the question. What's something you wish someone had said to you when you were at your lowest? So the best advice, we want to hear from you. Don't get started with your weekend yet. And I got to tell you, Jerry, I hope the phone lines really light up and stay lit up the entire show, because we could really learn. A lot of people are going through some pretty difficult times, low-grade depression, you know, things, loss, all sorts of things. And it's sudden. There's a lot of sudden tragedies happening. And so we better be ready, right? We got to be acutely aware of what's going on in people's lives so that we're able to respond in a Christ-like way. So could you help us? Give us your best advice. What's something you wish someone had said to you when you were at your lowest? This will help others. That's how it works with the body of Christ, with the Take Two family. Here's the number, 833-288-3986. That's the number to call. Please start ringing those phones, because Matt Kubinski wants to answer your call.
Perhaps you're really at a low point right now, and we certainly pray for you that God hears your prayers, your pleas for His help. But maybe you're at a low point in your life right now. Some things aren't just going very well for you. What would you like? What would you like to be told? What would you like some advice to be given to you? In this situation, 833-288-3986. Or if you maybe you're the one who has offered the advice, the wisdom, the inspiration, the consolation to someone when they were at their lowest. Let's talk about this today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. It is your show. As Debbie says, don't get started with your weekend yet. We need your participation right here and right now at 833-288-3986.
So we're talking about when what's something you wish someone had said to you when you were at your lowest. And I have to tell you, Jerry, you've heard me, you've met her, you've heard me speak about her. Kristen, my very best friend. She's really a sister. We've been so close, and we were neighbors since we were little. Since she was I think 18 months old, and I was less than a year old. Well, today is her birthday, so isn't it interesting how this show happens to fall on her birthday? And so, Kristen, if you're listening, you have always given me best great advice during low times. And so happy birthday, Kristen. And she always knew what to say. Why? Because she knew me. And that's interesting, Jerry. She knew what to say because she knows me, and she knows my heart. She knows how I think. She knows how I react. She knows pretty much everything about me for 57 years. So, it's interesting when you know somebody you're so close to them, and you know their habits, you know their desires. It may be easier for you to say those really important things during the low times. But what if you meet somebody at the church or a coworker, and they're in a really dark period in their life? Are you able to say those things that would really help them? Because the last thing you want to do, right, is hurt them. And I will tell you, people can sometimes say some pretty, let's face it, some pretty ignorant and rude things when you're at a low moment. So it's very interesting discussion, and I really hope our Take Two family takes it on before the weekend. Come on, you guys, 833-288-3986.
All right, we need you to be a part of the program. And again, we're talking about if you've been through a dark period in your life, maybe when you can look back and you say, man, that was the lowest place I've ever been. It could be because of so many things. It could be anxiety about things going on in the world, the direction in the world. It could be maybe a relationship that went south and didn't work out. Maybe it was the loss of a loved one. Maybe you just find yourself you know, hating your job, and you still have to have that job because, you know, you need to make a living. So it could be any one of these things. And of course, the big ones too. Maybe you went through a period of depression or something like that. I've been there myself, Debbie, and I would say one of the worst pieces of advice I ever received was when I was dealing with depression, and somebody said, well, just put a joke book on your nightstand and read one when you go to bed at night and read one when you get up in the morning.
I didn't say that.
It wasn't. Was not you. And I wasn't angry about it or anything, thought, you know, what in the world? Come on, are you serious? Mm-hmm. But it's just an ignorance, and I say that just in the classical definition of the term.
Sure.
Someone who is ignorant of basically what somebody goes through when they're going through a depression mm-hmm. period in their mm-hmm. life. So mm-hmm. what about you, Take Two Family? 833-288-3986. Sorry about that.
No, Jerry, you make a really good point, though. See, sometimes when you're in an uncomfortable situation, we know this from life coaching, when you're in an uncomfortable situation, you want to just say something that just is going to kind of end that, that feeling, and so you can move on to the next subject, right? And so people will blurt out things because they do feel awkward. They don't know what to say. I mean, especially, you know, when somebody loses a child, okay, what do you say to a parent that has to bury their child? There's nothing you can say, nothing, because it's the most painful thing in the whole entire world. So what do you say? And maybe that's what you say. I have no idea what to say. I can't even imagine the pain you're going through. I think a validation of a person's pain and suffering is very important. I really do, because people are struggling to get through certain situations. Now you may say, well, if you do that, are you going to keep them down? Are you going to make them not want to feel? Are you going to make them feel sorry for themselves and have that victim mentality and everything? No, not necessarily. You know, obviously you have to figure out a way to move forward. But to validate where somebody is at and to acknowledge, I think, is very important. What do you think?
No, I agree completely. And we want to know what you think. The Take Two Family, Matt Gubinsky, screening calls right now. We've got some lines still open, however. 833-288-3986. We've all been in those low, dark moments in our lives. What do you wish someone had said or done for you when you were in that place? 833-288-3986.
We're asking today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, what's something you wish someone had said to you when you were at your lowest? Think about it for a moment, and please call in 833-288-3986. Before we get to the phones, there is still some open phone lines. Please, I've said it now, this is the third time, so that means that you guys got to stop what you're doing. Don't get going with your weekend. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. We need your help. So come on, Take Two Family, fill up those last phone lines, 833-288-3986. Jerry, you know how I love things that come into my email in the morning. I think they're fabulous. And one of them is the World Over email. Don't miss the latest political and cultural reporting and analysis on topics of interest to Catholics and people of faith on the World Over with Raymond Arroyo. We love him. He's amazing. And get news from the World Over in your email inbox every week. Sign up today. All you have to do, folks, it's so easy. Visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe. I did. I have no regrets about it. I love it. I am so up to speed on everything that's happening, and I'm grateful to the World Over and Raymond Arroyo and all the other programs and resources that EWTN provides. It's amazing. I thank God every single day, because I would be lost, Jerry.
I know. It's a good way to stay on top of everything going on at EWTN. All right, we're going to get to your phone calls. What do you wish somebody would have said to you or done for you, perhaps, when you were at that low point in your life? We've all been there. And you know what you share on this show could impact someone else and maybe even turn a life around, because there may be someone going through a really tough time right now. And what you wish someone had said to you, you could actually be saying to them on the radio today. 833-288-3986. Okay, let's go to Mary first in Amarillo, Texas, listening on St. Valentine Radio. Hi, Mary.
Hello. This is not something that I wish someone had done. This is something someone actually did for me when my mother died. I was off work for a while. When I came back to work, there was this gentleman who's actually the man who introduced me to the Catholic faith. And when I walked into work, he just came up to me. He never said a word, put his arms around me, and gave me the biggest, sweetest hug. And that's been 20 years, and I've never forgotten that. It was the most comforting thing anyone did when my mother died. Mm.
So he didn't say anything, Mary? He just gave you a beautiful, genuine hug?
He didn't say a word. Mm-hmm. He just hugged me, and it was such a beautiful expression of love, because words aren't always that helpful, but I think hugs are great. I recommend hugs.
You don't have no argument from me, Mary. I completely agree. When I was diagnosed with cancer in 1994, my dad had no idea how to respond, because I was the only one in the whole family that the first died. Well, my grandparents and stuff, but I'm talking about our immediate family. And my dad had no idea how to respond. He was in New Jersey. I was in Arizona. He flew out to Arizona, and all he did was hug me. That's all he did. And he hugged me for like minutes and minutes. It went on and on and on. And I was like, wow, that was his way of telling me that he really cared and he was hurting as I was hurting. And it sounds like this gentleman really put that effort in, because a hug is a very personal, very intimate thing. And to do that, you really have to put your heart out there. And that's huge. That's that. And it stayed with you. See, Jerry and Mary, these small gestures go a long way and stay with us.
What do you think, Mary? I was going to offer a comment, but you go first.
That, I mean, in our office, I mean, it was the construction business. In our office, we didn't hug each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just really unusual that one of my male coworkers would come up to me and give me that hug. But I felt the love. And, of course, he and I had a lot of faith discussions. So we knew we were both Christians and shared faith. Mm-hmm. But still, it was not common. It was really kind of out of character, and I think that's one reason it stayed with me so long, is because a lot of people gave me cards and sent words and flowers, and that was all great, but that hug meant more to me than anything.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I can relate, Mary, so very, very well. I mentioned earlier when I went through a period of depression, I was seeing a priest about once a week, and we would talk, of course, and talk things through and pray and so forth. But at the end, he would give me a hug as well, and I would just bury my face in his chest, basically, and probably, got his clothes all wet, because I was sort of sobbing all the time too, and those hugs would just last, like you said, for just a few minutes, and then I almost didn't want to pull away, because part of my things that I've had to work through in my life have to do with my father wound, so here was a father, a spiritual father, really giving me the love and affection that I never had from my biological dad. So I can relate to the hugs very well, Mary. Absolutely.
For your show, love it.
Oh, thank
you. Have a good day.
Oh, thank you, Mary. Now you can start your weekend. Thank you, Mary. See, Mary did it the right way. She called in. She contributed beautifully, and now she can start her weekend. So come on, follow Mary. Let's go, guys. 833-288-3986. Jerry, go back to that for a moment. So you were going in for, some kind of spiritual direction or counseling or something like that, and your depression was happening, and then the priest would close with allowing you an embrace that allowed you to just kind of breathe and just relax, kind of just know that you're going to be okay, because there's people that love you, right? You were also very open to that from other people as well, because I know during that time, I knew you well because we were working together. A lot of us chose to give you hugs and to just walk with you. And I'm curious, when you were going through that time, and you probably don't remember many details of it, because a lot of times people try to not bring up the memory of going through a bout right. of depression. But did you feel that we were journeying with you? Did you know you had a lot of prayers around you?
I did, yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting you bring that up, because there were, you know, people like yourself and other people I worked with, colleagues and family members, who really rallied around me, you know, and I definitely felt that support, the love and the prayers. The other side of that coin, too, is something that happened and probably happens to everybody who goes through a dark, low period, and that is you kind of learn who your friends are, because mm-hmm. oh, yeah. I had some dear, dear friends kind of just sort of faded out of my life for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't criticize them, because I think a lot of times it's just they don't, you know, you get freaked out by things, you know. It's like, I don't know what Jerry's going through, but, you know, and so they think maybe I just need to not say or do anything, but, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah, like I said, it was disappointing, but I'm not being critical of them, because, again, you can't understand what somebody's going through, I guess.
Well, you know, you make a really good point, because you probably had these friends around you for a long time. You counted on them. They counted on you. They, you know, you guys did stuff together, and maybe in ministry or something like that. And so you just assume that those are the people you can lean on. But, you know, some people, they have a really difficult time with walking with somebody who's going through you know, a dark period in their life. And I will tell you, I know from coaching all the time that people will say, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. Honestly, I didn't want it to bring me down. So I had to step away. Isn't that interesting? So people just assumed it was going to bring them down, you know, like kind of like, I don't know, maybe the misery loves company type thing. I don't know. But it's interesting. I don't think people do it out of any, you know, a meanness in their
malice
heart or anything like that. Yeah. Malice in their heart. I don't think that. I think that they really, there's a fear there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Fear about the unknown, the uncertainties. Mm-hmm. I don't think people would consciously think of it this way, but maybe subconsciously they're thinking, I don't want to catch it. You know, I don't want to mm-hmm. catch what so-and-so is going through. And of course it can't be transmitted that way. I mean, everybody has their own unique, mental, good
makeup,
things.
Composition.
And, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Composition. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this has the potential, folks, to be a fascinating conversation. We're going to get more of your calls here in a second, but I wanted just to mention the topic again. If you just joined us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio, if you can point to a period in your life when you were just at your lowest, you know, you just thought, man, life can't get any worse than it is right now. What do you wish someone had said or done for you? Maybe you wish you'd gotten more hugs. Maybe there was some words of consolation that you wish someone had given to you. And in turn, you could be providing that consolation for someone listening today. So please join mm-hmm. us, 833-288-3986.
Before we get to Alan, I've shared this many times, but it just comes up for me every time. And when Mary shared the story from Amarillo, Texas, about the coworker that hugged her and it's lasted with her all this time, and she can recall it very quickly. It's the same way, Jerry, when I went through a major betrayal, when my former husband decided to step out of a 20-year marriage for another person that he fell in love with, and I was such in shock and devastated. I ended up in the hospital, and when I woke up, I think I told you this. My pastor and priest friend was literally shoving saltine crackers in my mouth. Because I guess I wasn't eating for a couple of days. I don't know. I don't know how many days I was in the hospital, but he was shoving these saltine crackers, and I wake up and I go, Father, what are you doing? He goes, I didn't know what else to do. Well, and I think about that all the time, and it makes me laugh. But you know how sweet. He didn't know what else to do. He probably said all the prayers. He was probably saying, "Dear Lord, please just wake her up and, you know, have her get out of the hospital." And he started shoving saltine crackers. But you know how saltine crackers, if you don't have water, that's mm-hmm. tough to be eating a lot of saltine crackers without any water.
Exactly. Wow, amazing. Yeah. Okay, 833-288-3986. What do you wish someone had said or done for you when you were at your lowest point in your life? Alan is going to join us next in Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Alan.
Hi. I'm going to make this quick. I'm at work, but I kind of felt on my heart that I needed to call you guys. My father passed away back in 2009. Very suddenly. And so I, at the time I was living, you know, quite a distance from my parents, but, I had flown down there, and helped my mother out and my sister and brother who were there as well, to try to get things squared away for them, you know, get their finances squared away and do some different things. I stayed there for about a week because I was working. But, during that time frame, we had the funeral, and of course they asked me to say something at his funeral, you know, do the eulogy, and I didn't. I pulled back, and you know, like I didn't really want to. I don't know. I felt like I was internalizing, but in any event, I honestly don't know if it would have helped or not. But it would have been nice if someone had said to me, "Alan, you really want to do this? You know, that is important to you, and you know." Maybe the years later, you're going to regret not saying anything. And so I'm saying this out to you guys because I'm hoping that someone else is listening and hears this. And I really encourage you to step up and say something out of your heart, you know, because it'll make you feel better, I think. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Alan, I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm so sorry for the loss of your dad. If you could give us his first, if you feel comfortable giving us his first name, please do so, because I brought the prayer book out. I wanted to share with you, I just wanted to affirm what you're saying. My husband lost his brother, his oldest brother, tragically, actually in 2009. Isn't this interesting? And they wanted the other family members to give the eulogy, but then they asked my husband, they said, you know, you were really close to him. Do you want to speak at his memorial service? And he didn't want to because he was very reserved. He didn't want to. I begged him. I said, Marty, please, you will feel so much better. And he did. And you are spot on. It was the thing he needed to do as a gift to his brother and for the healing. So, Alan, I couldn't agree with you more, even if it's just a few words.
Right. Yeah. That, I mean, it would have, anything would have been good. And I kind of sat back and everyone was around and I didn't say anything. I even at the time I thought to myself, man, I really should have said something, you know, said something or I should say something. I should have stepped up. But,
but Alan, may I suggest something real quickly? Do it now. Okay. Pull up a picture of your dad and do it in your home because the Lord will see it and God willing, the Lord will let your dad and do it now. So do it out loud for your dad. Have some kind of on his anniversary or something like that. Would you do it? Because I think it would really be beautiful.
Yes, I actually will do that. That's a great idea. I really appreciate that. That's brilliant.
Debbie is pretty brilliant, Alan. She's full of great ideas as well. Thank you, Alan, so much. We will pray that is just a blessed, blessed experience that you have in getting out that photo of your dad and eulogizing him at this point because, you know, he is in the arms of God, good Lord willing, and God is outside of time and space. So it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Mary, hold on, West Liberty, Ohio. Another Mary. This will be our second and third Mary on the show today.
Three Marys, yeah.
And a phone line is open for you to call in at a low point in your life. What do you wish someone had said to you, done for you? 833-288-3986. This is your show. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. Thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program. You don't know how much that means to us. And Alan, if you are still listening, I think we ended the conversation with you there without getting your father's first name, who passed away suddenly in 2009. So if you have a chance, maybe you can call back and give that to Matt Gabensky, our call screener, or you can email it to us, take2@ewtn.com. But Debbie, I know you've already got his dad and their whole family in the prayer book. So if he wants to give us his father's first name, he's welcome to do so.
Absolutely. And because of you, Alan, we put on the show calendar for the future a chance for us to actually publicly have a show to say to our loved ones that have passed, you know, the things we would have said at their funeral or memorial service, and how beautiful and healing that will be. So, Alan, thank you. You prompted us. See how the Spirit works, folks. See, when you call in, you share your story. You're helping others, but you're also helping the show to continue and for us to develop together. That's the mystical body of Christ in action. I cannot say it enough. So please dial in. If you feel that little nudge in your spirit, you have plenty of time. 833-288-3986.
Okay, again, we've got back-to-back Marys on the line right now, and the second and third one of the show today. This one is in West Liberty, Ohio, listening on Sirius XM 130, and a first-time caller. Mary, we're so glad you called. Welcome.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
It's good to talk to you all.
Likewise.
Yes, I have been listening and thinking about a situation I'm dealing with right now that I thought, wow, maybe I can get some tips. But unfortunately, it's a situation that I was in over 20 years ago when my son attempted suicide. And this friend of mine, oh, she's a friend now, is in the same situation. But the things that, I mean, I couldn't have asked for more help at that time than I had. It was so wonderful. People sent, the cards were wonderful. People came and my church arranged a dinner schedule. They brought meals for us. People came and visited the hospital. I mean, we would have visitors at the hospital all the time, which was really wonderful. A couple times, some friends came and took me out to lunch at the hospital, by the hospital. So that was really comforting, too. It was just nice to get out of the hospital for a little while. So kind of a different situation, but there were just so many wonderful things that people were so supportive. And, you know, I think people need to know, whatever you say to someone in sincere sympathy or heartfelt sympathy is going to mean something. And those hugs are definitely, I agree with the other Mary, it's wonderful to get a hug.
It is. And, you know, Mary, you just mentioned, I think, for me, the key, and that is, you know, what people do or say something that's heartfelt, because you can tell, you know, and this, again, this is no knock on people who just say something just to say something, but if people say or do something that you really know is from their heart, that makes a huge, huge difference. And your situation, thanks be to God, you had that circle of people really rallying around you at that time, and we talked a little bit ago about how people are intimidated by certain things that people go through. Well, you know, the whole issue of suicide and attempted suicide and depression and things like that, those are things that kind of freak some people out, you know. So thanks be to God, you had these wonderful people, and that's the body of Christ in action. Debbie was just talking about that. And really, Mary, that's the way it should be. Unfortunately, Debbie, it's not always that way.
Well, it's not. And I think sometimes, Mary, maybe you experience this, and I put your name and your family in the book, and also your friend that you're helping right now. God knows who everybody is. He's, God willing, he's listening to this show. But it's interesting. Maybe you could share this. Did the folks that when they were there for you with the lunches and the hugs and checking in on you, did they also provide follow-up? Because sometimes people will say, okay, this is my friend Mary, she's going through a hard time, you know, I'll send her a card and I'll make a phone call, and then people kind of give you your space and they think they're doing you a good thing, but when you're going through those, you know, rocky times, you're thinking, where is everybody? What was the follow-up like with these friends? I'm just curious, because I've always said this to people, you know, please check in with people. I have a dear friend who lost her son several years ago in a motorcycle accident, and I bring him up all the time. And I even asked her, I said, are you okay with me bringing it up? And she said, okay. She said, thank you. Thank you. Because she posts things on Facebook. She clearly wants to remember her son. And so we should talk about her son. It's not going to make her feel down and depressed. She wants to celebrate the fact that he was here and alive with us. So, I mean, Mary, can you give us a little detail on what the follow-up afterwards was like?
That is so very, very true. And I did have people send cards after the fact. And I think that's a big thing that, you know, could help. Or just even a call or a text or whatever. Just how's it going, whatever. But the other thing, and now I'm having a brain... What was I going to say? I can't remember what I was going to say, but definitely follow-up, I think, is so important. And once again, just... I know people are, you know, don't know what to say at times like this, but anything you say that's heartfelt. Sometimes people would come up, well, I still do. People will ask about him because he doesn't live in our town anymore. And oftentimes, like probably, you know, once a week, maybe more, I'll get somebody saying to me, how's Gus doing, you know, and that's always comforting. But once again, the one thing I want to stress is don't be afraid to say something or call, or even if it's just a call or a text that's saying, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you, because that means a lot. Even, you know, when you're uncomfortable, not knowing what to say, that simple, I'm praying for you, means a lot.
For sure, Mary. Thank you for being on the show today and all that you have shared, especially what you just shared. I think there are people listening right now, like we said earlier, and we always say this. So many people listen to shows like this and hear things they're not inclined to call in themselves, and maybe they're going through a really, really horrific time in their lives, perhaps even very similar or identical to what you went through, and you have just helped those people. So this is definitely, absolutely the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Don't you think, Deb? I mean, this is...
Absolutely. Mary, thank you so much for your call and sharing your story. You really helped to shape this show and discussion today. Jerry, real quickly, I just have to say something. We need, don't let me forget, we need to save like 2 minutes before the end of the show, issue a very healthy challenge for our Take Two family to go into the weekend. So I want to make sure we get that in and to help others grow in this area.
Sounds good. In the meantime, we have more of your calls, 833-288-3986. When you were at a very low point in your life, maybe your lowest point, you look back and you just say, I wish somebody would have said what? What do you wish somebody would have said to you, done for you? Please share this because this is already an impactful show and you can make it even more so. 833-288-3986. Okay, our third Mary of the day, driving through Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hello, Mary. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. This is my first time call as well.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah. So my experience was what somebody did for me at my lowest point was after the funeral mass for my son. And, you know, we had had lunch in the church hall, and my father said, we need to take a family picture. And I looked at him and I said, I can't do this. I don't want to remember how I look right now. I don't want to see that. And he said, trust me. So I stood there and I was in line with my family for the photo, and my father reached behind two other people and grabbed my hand, and he held my hand. We got the picture taken, and afterwards I'm looking at him like, why did I just do this? And he said, someday that's going to mean a lot to you. And it was about 2 years later, I looked at that picture, and those are all the people that stood by me and supported me and loved me through the whole thing. And beyond that, my dad was holding my hand. Mm-hmm. It was so beautiful. And I love that picture. I look like the wrath of God in the picture, but I can feel all the love that was there.
Wow. Wow. It's sometimes people bring stuff up on the show, Mary, that get us emotional. I know Debbie is, and I am. And I it just brought me back to the death of my sister. We didn't do that. I have a picture of all of us at our high school. Was so small. They don't have single year class reunions. We have all class reunions. And I think it was 2011. We went to one, and that's I think the last time we have a picture of all of us together. But it's just something I wish we had done now, because your dad was so wise. You know, he knew, like you said, Mary, that he knew. He said, trust me, this is going to be meaningful to you someday. And look what it does for you now. It takes you back there again to that time, like you said, where you had all of that love and support and prayers. So beautiful, beautiful testimony, Debbie.
I'm an absolute emotional mess, Mary. Makes me miss my dad so very, very much, because he had that kind of just wisdom like your dad. That is incredible that your father knew to do this. He knew to grab your hand. He knew to gather everyone. That is you have a beautiful dad, and you're right. You probably are thinking, why am I in a photo when I feel so horrible? But now you look at it and you realize all the love that was and is around you. Mary, I don't know if you feel comfortable. I have the prayer book out. Can we have your son's first name?
Absolutely. My son, his name was Michael.
Oh, beautiful. That's my brother's name. I love that name. Beautiful name. And how about is your dad still with us?
Oh, no, he's been gone for quite a while. His name was David.
David. Well, spoken like a true David. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. You're blessed, Mary. You have a lot of love around you and a lot of wisdom. And wow. And your input today, I think, is going to make a huge difference for others as they go through loss. We're all going to go through loss. We are. I mean, it's just the way this world works. But to know that you were able to look at this beautiful picture and feel that family love. Wow. Jerry?
Nothing more I can say to that. To Mary, you were fantastic. Any last comments you want to make before we let you go?
No, wanted to share that. I think that it's really important to take those pictures and to take those memories. It's all part of not only the person that died, that part of their life review is how we carry on afterwards. You know, when we look back at their lifespan, no matter how long it is. And after my son died, I kept praying that I would learn everything I could possibly learn from the experience and use it to help somebody else. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want all that pain to be wasted. It was too much. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I am a hospice social worker.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you for what you do. Wow.
It is definitely an honor.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Yeah, you're in a very sacred position working with the patients who are dying. So, Mary, mm-hmm. thank you again for the call.
And sorry for your loss, Mary.
Yeah, very, very mm-hmm. sorry for that. But please have a blessed weekend. And Alan did call back, Debbie, and mm-hmm. he said his dad's name is Alan. So
yep, got it. Alan and your dad, we put your dad, Alan, in the book. And you prompted the show that's going to be coming up, Alan. So thank you so very much. Got to keep listening. Again, Mary was a first-time caller. Thank you, Mary. Please call back and share some more in the future. You are amazing. Okay, so Mehdi called and wanted to thank the last caller. And Mehdi has now been inspired to call a friend who lost her son last year after not doing so before. So that is huge. And that goes, credit goes to the other Mary from who called in from did I get it from Ohio? Right. Mm-hmm. The other Mary. I got it. We have three Marys. This is amazing. So I had to look. So Mary number two who called in. So Mehdi wanted to say thank you. And it inspired her. So, okay. So here's the thing. I just wanted to say that's the challenge that Jerry and I wanted to issue. Okay. So this weekend, be thinking of that person or that family that you have not touched base and checked on and maybe offered to, you know, cut their grass or bring a meal or go grocery shopping for them or something, or bring them something to brighten their time. pick that person, pick that family, and contact them this weekend and just say, hey, I've been thinking of you, and I just wanted to see how you're doing, and is there anything I can do to make your day, your week a little brighter, or and let them know you've been praying for them. I think it's beautiful. So that's the challenge, and Mehdi already knew to take that on. I love that, Jerry. See how the Holy Spirit works?
Yeah, amen. We're going to get to Patricia momentarily. First, though, I want to mention Register Radio with Jeanette DeMello and Dr. Matthew Bunsen, Saturday afternoons at 4 Eastern and Sunday mornings 11 Eastern on EWTN Radio. Jeanette and Matthew shine the truth of the gospel on the events of the day. And on this week's Register Radio, Jeanette will talk with A.C. Wimmer about the latest updates on the German Synod. Also, Monse Alvarado will discuss her new appointment as President and Chief Operating Officer of EWTN News and her greatest accomplishments at the Beckett Fund, a renowned nonprofit defending religious freedom as a human right. So that's Register Radio, very informative program, twice on the weekend, Saturdays at 4 Eastern Time and Sundays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on EWTN.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phones. Patricia, we switched from the Three Marys to Patricia in Westlake, Ohio, listening on our friends at The Rock. Hello, Patricia.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Debbie. I've kind of got a two-part with this phone call. One of the lowest points in my life was when I was 43 years old. I lost my husband in a tragic accident. We were married 21 years. And one of the most spectacular things that happened in that low point was that two people out of all the people we knew, 300, 400 people came to the wake. It was tragic. The support I got through a letter. Two people took the time, you know, all the well wishes and all the sympathy cards. But a month later, these letters rolled in, and just when you think everybody forgot about you, it was a handwritten letter. So it meant so much to me. They reminisced of times. They even included pictures of my husband and I at a picnic, and I felt that love. And since that time, I started a letter-writing ministry. So usually women, it seems that way. I haven't had too many male friends that have lost their wives, but the spouses that pass away, doesn't matter if it's from church or an acquaintance, I wait a little while, and then I write a letter, and I tell them things that help me, sometimes soaking in the tub, sometimes doing this or that. It just brought me such peace, just repeating the word Jesus when you feel anxious at night. So I kind of turned that into a little bit of a ministry. and then my twofold, Debbie, is because I perked up. I'm waiting for a Catholic counselor from my parish to call me back right now. My husband, my new husband of 21 years, I should say my second husband, we just separated because he, too, found a young girlfriend and basically asked me to leave. And we are the holy couple. We met at the Vatican. We've traveled to the Holy Land, but evil came in. There was something, and yeah, I found out that he had a girlfriend, and now I am living alone in Ohio in one of our homes, and we are separated, and it doesn't sound like he's too interested in getting back together. So the thing that I would like to say, people that are going through something horrific like this, no one can believe it. People, I've only had a core amount of friends that want to reach out. And what I'd like to say is reach out, stop in, tell them you need to see them. Let's go for a cup of coffee. Can I come over? Let's have a glass of wine. Let's just talk. People are so busy with their lives and their children and their grandchildren that they just think, she's fine, she's strong, but it's lonely. And Debbie, maybe you can offer me some advice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you this, Patricia, my heart is breaking and I'm actually shaking for you because it's you know, when you hear stories that are so similar to your own, you start to recall and I can feel I can feel your sadness. I can feel your pain. My heart goes out to you. You are more than welcome to reach out. If you want to email me, I'll happily give you my contact information and we can chat. And if there's anything I can offer from going through such a horrific, shocking experience, I can totally relate. The email is take2@ewtn.com. But what I can say is, Patricia, you're right. You're spot on. People do, they're busy, and they sometimes, you know, they can set aside 10 minutes for a chat, but you know, our lives are more detailed than that. You know, it may take an hour, and people are like, an hour? That's a long time to spend. And is that going to go on and on and on? You know, and people don't want to invest that kind of time. It doesn't mean they don't love us. It doesn't mean they don't care. And they'll pray and they care. But people's time is very interesting right now. And I will tell you, I just read something, Patricia, and I feel bad for people that feel that way, because we're going to have to give an account to God someday of all the time that we spent and what we put our efforts towards. And I do believe that in that is going to be an opportunity for us to see that we could have stepped in and helped a friend or a family member like you, Patricia, but we chose to, I don't know, go shopping instead, or go, fix something in the house or whatever. Okay, those things are important. But, you know, human beings, this is, you know, for all of eternity. All these other things are going to go away. Human beings, it's for eternity. And so I just would say, Patricia, if it were me and I did this, pray that the right people come into your circle to support you. You have a lot of love around you. Sounds like you're reaching out to a great Catholic counselor. That's wonderful. Get the support. God will provide. I had a lot of friends leave me during the most difficult time, but I had a ton of friends come in, and I'm very grateful. What do you think?
That makes sense, and I appreciate the advice. I thank you for taking my call. I'm going to do just that. I do want to recommend a book for anyone out there suffering. I saw it on EWTN, Doug Keck's book review show. I think it's called, well, I can't think of what the name of it. It is about Doug Keck, and it was Dr. Jeffrey Kirby's book on Manual for Suffering, and I highly recommend it. It's not a martyr type of suffering, but it's basically redemptive suffering, and you can just unite that suffering to the passion of Jesus and save souls, and that's what I've been doing. So I think I've saved over 1 million souls already.
Yeah, Patricia, you're talking about the show Bookmark with Doug Keck, and it's actually Father Jeffrey Kirby, not doctor. He is a priest, wonderful priest at that. And I just wanted to quickly add, you know, when we go through suffering, I think that takes us to a different place. You know, it takes us out of ourselves, makes us more empathetic, more compassionate, more attentive to people's needs, such as what you're talking about here, Patricia. And as you talked about, you know, what people did for you, you then turn around and did for others. It reminds me of my favorite event in the Olympics is the relay race, the 4x100 relay race. And you've grabbed the baton now, and you're going to, the things you're doing for others, they're going to take that baton and just continue to run that race. So thank you, Patricia, so much for your call. We greatly appreciate it. We're going to run out of time here in just a moment, but God bless you, Patricia. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And if I may, Debbie, we just got an amazing email came in. It's from Leslie. She says, thank you, 2 exclamation marks. You must do this show again because it is so helpful. My brother-in-law, Robin, was just admitted to hospital with kidney failure. He has been fighting stage 4 cancer. We'll put him in the book. My wonderful 92-year-old father has been declining recently, and I am blessed, but we will be devastated when he goes to his eternal rest. I will be prepared. She says, I loved Alan's suggestion about saying something at a funeral, and I think Debbie commented to do it if you miss the opportunity. And Debbie's challenge is wonderful. I will spread it for my small group who meets for prayer Saturday morning, and her suggestion to follow up with people after their loss. That's from your sister in Christ, Leslie. She's been paying close attention, Debbie, to the whole show, obviously.
Oh, this was amazing. This was, you could feel the Holy Spirit in this discussion. All the calls were just perfect because you guys were prompted by the Spirit. You called in. It was necessary. And Leslie, thank you so much for recognizing all of this. We see it as well. The show team here, Ace and Jeff and Matt and Jerry and I are just like, wow, God is so amazing. Jerry and I gave an interview last week at EWTN and they asked us the question, what do you say after every show? And what did we say, Jerry?
Wow.
Yep.
Amazing. We said it at the same time too.
We did,
I think.
And then a truck went by because we were doing it when there was outside noise and they had to do it over again, and then we weren't in sync.
Well, Take Two family, you are definitely in sync with this program. Thank you so very much. An amazing program indeed. Coming up on Monday, we are going to be talking about the person that you secretly look up to. And why is that? Is there someone that you really admire, you respect in sort of a secret way? They don't really know about that, but someone who just really impresses you and edifies you.
Oh, that's going to be an amazing show on Monday. Great topics coming up all year long for the Take Two family. So you guys are incredible. Okay. Now you can get started with your weekend. Right, Jer?
That's right. Thank you, affiliates. Again, thank you to Ace McKay, our producer, Matt Gubinski on the phones, Jeff Burson on social media. And thank you especially to you, Take Two family, for making it another great show. Until Monday, have a beautiful and blessed weekend. St. Joseph, please pray for us.